The following is a message given by Sheldon Campbell, a pastor at Grace Family Church in St. Catherine, Jamaica. To learn more about Grace Family Church, visit gracefam.church.
Thank you, Joel. All right, so let me just say good morning to my wonderful family, Grace Family Church. It's always a joy to share God's words with you. I don't know why this thing is a little low this morning, but it's okay. You know, I realize I'm a little bit taller than Shawnee. But, you know, even though it's a joy, I can tell you sometimes, you know, when we're preparing, when Joel, Sean, and I are preparing, we recognize that it takes much work. However, it's nothing in comparison to what our God has done for us. So would you just kindly open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 9. So we're going to be looking in chapter 9. We're going to be looking from verse 6 through to 15. Now, I know there are a lot of young persons here who will say, listen, I don't have a physical Bible, so certainly you can locate it on your device. Our sermon today is titled Generosity. Yeah, it's a little hard for me to read because it's a little bit too low. Hold it up. Yeah, that's better, thanks. Yeah. Cool. And as Joel said, this is a continuation of our series on the seven shaping virtues that we enjoy as believers. And this is a part of what we believe in our denomination, Sovereign Grace Churches. So let's look to our generous God in His Word so we can live in a manner which pleases and glorifies Him. So we're going to read 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through to 15. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. All right. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Man, that sounds good. You know, many of you at GFC, you know, you may have heard the story of Joel, Sean, and I, along with our families, selling our possessions to pursue pastoral training in Louisville, Kentucky, naturally in the USA, at the Sovereign Grace Pastors College, because we didn't have adequate funds, so that naturally that's why I have to sell our possessions. But, you know, we didn't even have enough money for tuition and our living expenses for the duration of the program. No, we did not know how it would work out, and thus there were many times where fear crept in and we were wondering if we were crazy. However, when we arrived, we were, and let me tell you this word here, the operative word, we were showered with generosity from churches mostly within the denomination. They furnished our apartments, paid part payments of our tuition, bought us cars, gave us supplies for our kids, cooked and purchased meals, bought us winter wear and equipment, drove us wherever we needed until we were settled and had our own vehicles. They were praying for us before and during our time there. And they had also devoted several months to prepare for us coming to them. We were dumbfounded. We were overwhelmed by how generous they were. Brothers and sisters, have you ever faced a situation where you had to rely on the kindness and the generosity of others? You know, our experience was a unique one, but it may lead us to ask, what does it truly mean to be rich? Is it about holding on to what we have? Or is it about the joy we experience when we give? Give. Isn't that food for thought? You know, it always fascinates me how joyful I feel after giving away money in light of our gospel realities versus being tight-fisted when I forget it. Indeed, it is more blessed or blessed to give than to receive, as Acts 20, verse 35 says. In fact, I believe the big picture presented in my message this morning is that since God is the giver of all good gifts and sacrificed Jesus for our sins, we should display his generosity towards others to praise and reflect him. You know, it's interesting how easily we can doubt or forget God's sovereignty and his faithfulness to us to provide and take care of us. And so, we seek to do what? Hoard. We hold on, right? Unto our resources and not bless others because we believe we are being good stewards by maybe our frugality or prudence. Eh? We deceive ourselves by thinking we can do a better job than God, and that we don't like this vulnerability business that comes to us when we give sacrificially. So what ends up happening is we become what? Stingy with our time, our talents, and some people say treasure, but I'll say money to make it clearer this morning. Thus, we're pretty much saying to God that, look, God, you see this generosity business, you know, important. However, that's an insult when we consider how extremely generous he has been and is presently. You know, he's generous to us. You know, what's ironic is that if there was someone who should withhold generosity from us, it should be God. Since we all have multiple PhDs in sinning. Listen, we are experts in sinning. Yet, that's not God's plan and nature. He's good. And he wants us and others to experience goodness. So, since God is the giver of all good gifts and sacrificed Jesus for our sins, we should display his generosity towards others to praise and reflect him. You know, in this text, you know, I want to address three main points that I believe the Apostle Paul covers. And they're simply God's generosity. We're going to look at him being the source, God's generosity, the cross, and God's generosity, the response. All right, so let's jump in. So our first main point, God's generosity, the source. So, just for context, in 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, The Apostle Paul uses the Macedonian church as an example of joy-filled generosity. Just picture that, joy-filled generosity. To encourage the Corinthians to contribute to the financial needs of the struggling church in Jerusalem. Despite their own afflictions and extreme, you hear that? Extreme poverty, the Macedonians gave generously and joyfully. They were so enthusiastic about helping that they pleaded. Can you imagine? They pleaded, they implored, they begged Paul for the privilege. I want you to hear that, you know, the privilege of contributing. Why, you know, I'm sure others might have been discouraging the Macedonians from giving due to their own needs. But you know what? They insisted on sharing what they had and did so with joy. Paul hoped that their example would inspire the Corinthians and others to also support the church in Jerusalem. Therefore, with that in mind, let's look at verse 6. So in verse 6, it begins with the Apostle Paul suggesting that, listen, if you have two persons, right, and they're sowing, and right here, sowing is used as an analogy, and it is actually, it's being used interchangeably, because if when you jump in verse 7, he goes right into giving, so you can see that's what's happening there. And he says, listen, if one sows sparingly and the other sows bountifully, so both of them are sowing, one sparingly, one bountifully. But you know what? But the decision for how much they sow is based up. It's based on a person. It says that it is what they have decided in their heart. Why do you think about that? It's what they have decided in their heart. So it's not about someone coming and badding you up to give. He says here, not under compulsion. And, you know, I must repent on behalf of the church at times, because I've seen this so many times in the church where people pretty much body up and tell you, say, listen, yeah, you've got resources, and, you know, a popular one would be to look in Malachi 3 and body up. And then after you get bad up, it's not like it necessarily a lot of times encourage you. Actually, you feel reluctant to give, in a sense. So you're actually letting them do the other thing that he's telling you not to do right here. So it's, which is crazy. So you're badding them up and you're making them feel reluctant to give. But this thing should be a choice. You know, I find the use of heart, he mentions heart. Now, a lot of times in scripture, understand something. When we talk about scripture and heart, it's not this thing right here, you know, that is pumping blood all over. That's not what the scripture is talking about. When the scripture talks about heart, it's usually referring to what we would say is the inner person, right? It is what is central to a person's thoughts, emotions, and will. That's what it is. So this is. When you have intentionally thought about this thing and you've made this choice, this is deliberate. Eh? So it appears to me then that generosity, based off of what Paul is saying, it should be more based on that, your heart condition. Certainly more than what your ability to give is, you know, what your resources to be generous. And, you know, in a sense, you know, some persons think, listen, you know, if I have more money, I will give. Not necessarily true. I hear some people say, lie. Yeah. And Jesus showed us that. You know, you guys remember the story of the widow's mite in Mark 12:42, right? And this little widow, she have her two little mites. And when she gave, you probably never hear when the mites them drop in the thing, the container holding it, right? Everybody else, you hear ching, 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 all kind of stuff, but her two mice, they don't hear anything, right? But the reality is what Jesus said, she was more generous because she gave sacrificially. She gave out of her need rather than those who had given from their abundance. That's instructive to us this morning. So we really have to ask ourselves, do we truly believe in God then, who loves us and provides for us? Do we truly believe that He is the source? And do we truly understand the gospel and how providing for others' needs has a way of shedding light on the very gospel that we say we believe? Because people, they're going to look at that as an extension of the work that God is doing when we do these things for them. Let's jump to verse 7. You know, verse 7 indicates that God loves a cheerful giver. And that makes quite a statement. Certainly, the Bible tells us of many things God loves. But this is one that He explicitly puts in Scripture that He loves. He loves a cheerful giver. You know, so if that's true, then this notion of God being this mean person that doesn't want to give us what we ask of Him in prayer is certainly incorrect. As Matthew 7, 11, and hope you guys are making notes of these scriptures, it says, "If you then, who are evil," ouch, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good," it just sounds good to say it, "give good things to those who ask Him." Listen, God is the source of generosity. In verse 8, you know, as you, and I want you to track with me in your text. In verse 8, it reveals that God is able to make His grace come to us in abundance. That sounds good. This definitely sounds like a generous God. Moreover, the purpose of His generosity, which we see that in the sense, is that we may what? Abound in every good work. No, that just sounds good. I want to certainly abound in every good work. So basically, so having received generosity from God, our good works must overflow in abundance. And you know, I'd suggest that one of the ways this is seen is in our generosity as well. You know, Chad Haygood notes, "When we focus our concerns on our temporary or future needs to determine our generosity, we fail to realize that God will supply all our needs. He has a higher goal in mind than just meeting our needs. He will provide so that we will have all that we need, an opportunity to continue our generous giving." Man, that sounds good. So, having discussed our generous God, who is the source of all good and perfect gifts, as the scripture says, let's move on to God's generosity, the cross, which we'll look at verse 9 right now, all right? So, in verse 9, it says, "God has generously distributed freely." I'm hoping you guys are taking note of these words, you know. "Distributed freely His righteousness. He has given it to the poor." And right now, I don't want you to think material poor, but I want us to think certainly spiritually poor. That is all of us who couldn't afford His righteousness. In fact, no one other than Christ, the God-man, could have paid the price for God's righteousness. But you know what? His righteousness endures forever. That's what the verse here says, you know. Listen, this is the most generous gift of all time. Through Christ's death on the cross, it has everlasting, perpetual, just think about this, ongoing benefits. It isn't going to run out or stop. You know, Chad Haygood notes, listen, stories and pictures of the broken, abused, neglected, and poor, especially children, may move tender hearts towards generosity, but nothing transforms a stingy heart more than considering our broken and bleeding Savior crucified for us. Isn't that good? We become generous as we are amazed by our own salvation. The first place we look to motivate our generosity is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, his generosity is spoken of again in 2 Corinthians 8, which is the chapter before us this morning, and in verse 9, when it says, listen, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Jesus became poor, as Luke 9 verse 58 shows, so that we might become infinitely rich in grace. So GFC, when we notice that we're becoming less generous, let's start reminding ourselves of what Christ has done for us on the cross and seek to find scriptures that emphasize his generosity towards us and others. You know, Randy Alcorn said it this way. I want you to hear this. Hear this. Gaze upon Christ long enough and you will become more of a giver. Give long enough and you will become more like Christ. Wow. So having addressed God's generosity through being the source, the giver of all good and perfect gifts, and through Jesus Christ dying on the cross, let's go on to our third and last point. This is God's generosity, the response. We'll be looking here at verses 10 through to the end. So in verses 10 and 11, there is this encouragement that God is what? He's faithful. He'll take care of those who give generously. It says he will what? Look on it there. He will supply. He will what? Multiply. He will increase. And it goes further to say, you will be enriched. Oh man, that sounds good. You will be enriched in every way. Listen, if you want to be enriched, certainly you want to be enriched in every way. In every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. So this is about our response to a God which is generous. Hallelujah. Listen, there are so many ways we can respond by demonstrating generosity. So when it says generous in every way, don't limit this thing to only financial generosity. Although that's certainly the context here, and I started by explaining that already. But listen, but look on what it says here. Look on the outcome of this. It will produce thanksgiving to God. Listen, people will thank God based on your generosity. In verses 12 through to 15, we see people glorifying God because of people's generosity. Our response, an act of generosity, they're vital, they're crucial. You know, as believers, when we are generous with our time, our talent and treasures, let's say money, it would lead to people praising God. Haven't we seen that in the scriptures and in our very own lives? You know, Sarah and I saw many people as we, you know, as we lived as missionaries for several years, many people who had that response while we were on the mission field. And I'm sure many of us can attest to just giving persons, whether it be them begging on the streets here in Jamaica, and one of the first things what happened, after you give them a little thing, as we'd say, what we hear them say, praise God. We hear them praising God. Eh? And listen, it's not really up to us whether I'm doing it genuinely or not, you know. That's between God and them. But we, you know what we have to do? We have to check our posture. Because I recognize in Jamaica, a lot of times when we do these things, we're kind of rough with them, a little too harsh, the way we speak with them. Because we do, you know, and in a sense, I know it's part of it is there's a little fear and doubt because we don't really want to be taken advantage of. And then, you know, sometimes them have these stories that they give to us and all these things. And I understand the context about living here in Jamaica. But I want to also challenge us to get up off of Fiwi High Horse and remember that many people who are living on the streets were top athletes and businessmen and women that made wrong decisions. I personally know some of them. I don't want to call names, but I can see them as I'm preaching here this morning. These were top people. So we better humble ourselves, as we don't know what the future. I'm not speaking a word over it, but I want you guys to just understand humility. We don't know what the future holds. I'm sure most of us can attest to, even as I think about this church, you know, just how much generosity we've just seen it towards individuals here at GFC. You know, even though we've just been a church for, what, 4 years? You know, we should just see God's kindness to us. You know, even yesterday, you know, I saw three sets of persons rushing to help someone who's a regular guest here at GFC who was having car problems. And he was grateful for their assistance. And again, I just want to say thanks, guys, again, just for your generosity there. But, you know, since we're speaking about generosity, I believe it's important to kind of quickly highlight a few areas where we see generosity in the Bible. Certainly, I just mentioned there just a while ago about giving to the needy. This is a recurring theme in the Bible where believers are encouraged to give to the poor and those who are orphans and the widows and the strangers, right? A matter of fact, Proverbs 19:17 is a very powerful passage. It says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. And what does God say? He will repay him for his deed. Wow. That's serious. And then, in Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 through to 8, what we see there is that the Bible encourages believers to generously open their hand to the poor and needy in their land. So I'm sure many persons are being challenged here this morning because I just told you, in Jamaica, that is the challenge many people have, giving to the needy, because, as I said, a lot of times the fear is that we don't want them necessarily to take advantage of us. Now, another thing we see in Scripture is tithing. And, you know, we see that tithing is a generous way that many believers support the church. Now, I don't want to necessarily jump into necessarily what our position here at GFC is, but I think you're going to kind of get a sense from what I, based off what I'm going to say now. Although I believe our giving must be guided by us, not being under compulsion and reluctance. At the same time, we should seek to be cheerful givers, because God, if God is a cheerful giver, we should be a cheerful giver. Look, remember the context of this scripture that we're looking on here this morning. And we certainly want to be those who are what? Sowing abundantly to further God's kingdom. So I think from that, you kind of know where I'm pushing. All right. We're also seeing the scripture as sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving, and I mentioned it earlier when we were talking about the widow's mite. Sacrificial giving is a generous way in which you can support the church. And I hope you realize when I'm saying the church, even though we're talking about the local church, we can also talk about the church. Hospitality. In Hebrews 13, verse 2, a lot of people always say, wow, this is an interesting passage. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. So one of the ways in which we demonstrate or we show generosity is in our what? Our hospitality. Another way the scripture shows that we can be generous is in our forgiveness. And I think a wonderful passage where we kind of see that illustrated for us is with the prodigal son in Luke 15, 11 through to 32, where we see what? We see this father generously forgiving and welcoming back his wayward son. Another way we see generosity would be in Acts 2, which we've shared this passage several times here at GFC, where the early Christians were, you know, they're described as having everything in common. So they're selling their possessions and goods and sharing with anyone who was in need. So naturally, those who would have, you know, if they were in need and they had experienced that, can you just imagine how they must have felt in just seeing that their circumstances were just improved right away because these other believers were sharing with them? Wow. Now, I've already mentioned some of the reasons, I probably even say most of the reasons we tend not to be generous, but I kind of just want to highlight them because I want us to think about them. It could be because, one, we don't want to, we have taken our focus or our eyes off Christ. I think that's probably one of the reasons why we tend not to be generous. Two, we tend not to be generous because we fear being taken advantage of. I said that already. Sometimes we feel like we don't have enough time to be generous. We may be busy with work, family, and other commitments. We may think we don't have adequate money to be generous, and so we don't want to give it away. We may believe that, listen, if we give something away, then we will not have enough for ourselves and our loved ones. Maybe there are some individuals, maybe before the sermon, that may not have been taught the importance of generosity, and so they didn't necessarily prioritize it. So, you know, these are probably ways why, you know, we may not have been as generous as we should. So let me just talk then about ways we can address these. One, consider Christ's generous work on the cross. Genuinely and cordially, you hear me say cordially? Cordially, ask these needy individuals, or maybe it's an organization, suppose it's a charity or something, I don't know. You can ask them questions or you can research if you are afraid of being taken advantage of. You can set aside a specific time each week to give away your time, your talent, or your money to others. So, let me give you some examples. For example, you can open your home to others. We know a certain pastor who every Friday, so everybody's shaking their head, yes, there's a certain pastor. I think he's the shortest one out of the three of us. Who does that on a particular day each week. We know Kay Dean did some ministry to people in a children's home. We saw just a few weeks ago, Jordana was helping out a little boy. You know, she's a med student, and there was this little baby boy that she came and realized he was malnourished, and the family was struggling, and they, you know, rallied together and got stuff for the family. Praise God for just her generosity there. But you can do other things. You can go to a homeless shelter. You can go to schools. Listen, there are so many things. But as we do these things, I want us to keep the purpose in mind, which is what? That we're advancing the kingdom. You know, this is to further the gospel. We're not just doing these good things just for the sake of doing them, but we want them to see Christ as we do these various things. Another way that you can address the reasons why sometimes people aren't generous is you can talk to other believers who are generous and just ask them, How has your life been enriched as you gave? And let them you know, share their testimonies with you. GFC, altogether, I just want you to recognize that. Listen, my sermon today was just a very simple sermon on generosity. But altogether, I'm hoping that it demonstrated to you this today that, listen, since God is the giver of all good gifts and has sacrificed Jesus for our sins, we should display his generosity towards others. And as the scripture says, what? To praise him. But I put in the word there, reflect him as well. Because listen, just like how Christ reflected his Father and his doing, and Christ was the one who generously sacrificed himself for us, we want to reflect our generous God. So as I conclude, the Bible gives us joyful ways in which generosity is given and received based on those whose hearts, let me touch the word again, hearts and gazes, we're looking, right? That are set upon Christ. So let's do that and ask God to what? Enrich the good works we do, which involves our time, our talent, and money. Even at times when it seems, ouch, inconvenient, ouch, or too much of a sacrifice. All in all, let's seek to live a lifestyle. You hear that? A lifestyle of generosity, following our God, instead of doing these kind of few and far between acts of kindness. Ooh, there's a lot of challenge here this morning. But finally, as Chad Haygood asserts, true generosity is not motivated by guilt or even by need. True generosity is motivated by the gospel of grace as it grips our hearts while we behold the incomprehensible generosity of God. Let's pray.
You have just listened to a message by Sheldon Campbell, a pastor at Grace Family Church in St. Catherine, Jamaica. To learn more about Grace Family Church, visit gracefam.church.